Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 21st episode of the Good Life Radio Show. I should change the name of the show to the Perfect Life Radio Show, but there isn't a song that starts with Welcome to the Perfect Life. I'm truly in sports nirvana right now. First of all, everyone who's listening, and it's everyone I met down in New Orleans, everyone on the Kentucky websites right now who tweeted that I'm going to be interviewing an all-time Kentucky great, thank you. It's around 700 or 800 people already, which is insane. I tweeted it already. I'm in sports nirvana. First of all, there's no co-host today. Chuck, the man who co-hosts all the time, sports genius, and the one who actually said Ohio State was going to lose to Kansas, Kentucky was going to handily beat Louisville, and Kentucky was going to beat Kansas in a romp, he told me. He broke down every part of it, and he basically was my sport therapy the entire tournament. When I thought they were going to lose the first round, Chuck's telling me to calm down. He doesn't even like Kentucky. He's a Florida and Baylor fan, but he walked me through it. Okay, so LB did the unthinkable. He actually has a job. Someone hired that man, which is, we're all trying to look into that, probably child labor laws or something. Walker, who is down 40 pounds. The big man is down 40 pounds. He has like 60 more to lose, but he's actually working now. So I'm going to roll solo now for morning show, which is very rare. The phone number, as always, 323-927-2966. Let me explain my sports nirvana, because today it's the start of baseball season, but I'm going to put a wrap on the college basketball season. The loves of my life. A big reason I'm single is because of the Yankees and Kentucky. It's probably 98% of the reason I'm single. The other 2%, whatever. But 98% of the reason I'm single is because my life revolves around these two teams. I'm a huge Giant fan, but nothing compares to this team. On February 5th of this year, I sat in the RCA Dome in Indianapolis and watched my Giants win the Super Bowl. On October 26th, 96, my birthday, I still say is the greatest moment of my entire life. On my birthday, I sat in Yankee Stadium and watched the Yankees win the World Series. Nothing will ever compare to that in my life. That was their return to glory. They beat the Braves for the title. But Monday, I sat in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans and watched my Kentucky Wildcats beat Kansas, climb the mountain, and be sports kings again. And a lot of people always ask, well, first people call me frontrunner about Kentucky. They have no idea my love affair for them for the past 20 years. And literally, it's been 20 years. And a lot of people always ask me, why Kentucky? So you know what? On the final day of Kentucky Talk, until the recruiting starts in 2 weeks, I'm going to explain why I'm a huge Kentucky fan before our guest calls in. 92, I'm at a buddy of mine's house. He was a few years older. They were all Duke fans. Everyone in the world's a Duke fan. As a joke, I go there. Well, I'm there as a joke. I start rooting for Kentucky. A complete joke. I know nothing about the team. I'm 10 years old at the time. 92, 10 years old. Watching the game. And as a joke, I'm rooting for Kentucky. I have a white t-shirt on. I write UK on it. I have no idea anything about Kentucky. But I start falling in love with this team. And it was one of the greatest games of all time. The Leitner game. And I see guys like Jamal Mashburn, Travis Ford, who really didn't play that much, Sean Woods. And I'm watching that game, and I fall in love with this team. And I'm going crazy. They're winning the whole game, and I'm going nuts. And I see people, I have like a lot of, maybe 9 or 10 people calling in. I'm just waiting for the guests to call in, and then I'll go to the calls. It's all Kentucky phone numbers, which is a good sign. It's every single person I met on Bourbon Street when I gave them the website and my phone number, who I've been texting nonstop. I have no more New York friends. I don't even want New York friends. So I'm watching this Kentucky game, and I'm going nuts. And I'm rubbing it in their faces, and they're getting really pissed. They're all like 15, 16 years old, and they're legitimate Duke fans. They know every player in Duke. Leitner, Hurley, the two Hill boys. So Leitner hits that shot on that pass from Grant Hill, and I remember they're going crazy. It meant so much more to them, but I was devastated. And I take losses bad. 95, when the Yankees lost to Seattle, when Griffey rounds third and scores. These are heartbreaking moments in my life. The Knicks losing. I take these games. I remember I cry in my mom's bed a few years ago. I told him my life was over when the Yankees lose to the Red Sox in Game 7, 2004. And I can just go through all that. We're not going to go through my sports therapy. This isn't going to be an open season with hundreds of people listening right now. But they lose. I remember I go home and I tell my mom. I'm all upset. I'm crying. She's like, why are you crying? You know nothing about this team. And from that moment on, she ordered me a Kentucky Starter jacket. And it's funny. Every show, whoever I interview, when I interview Tim Couch, Orton, Rick Meyer, all these great players, I always tell stories about how my mom ordered jerseys of this team, of these players when they were younger. And it's true. That's all she did. I didn't wear one name brand when I was little. It was just sports jerseys. So she buys me the Kentucky Starter jacket, the hat, the shorts, the socks, the under. I walked around every day about Kentucky. So I fall in love with this team. And I started following them more. And this is before, like right now, on my computer at home is just, it's Kentucky Sports Radio. That's all I listen to. I get the Kentucky newspaper sent here. Yesterday, I arrive home from New Orleans, and I know I'm jumping all over the place. I'm waiting for the guest to call in. I'm jumping all over the place. But I get home, I ordered the paper from Kansas, 5 different newspapers from Kentucky. I save all that stuff. So what happens is I get all the Kentucky stuff, and I start following them more and more and more, and they're getting better and better and better. 96 comes around. 15 years old, and sports is beyond my life now. Now it's all that matters to me in my life. So Kentucky starts the year off, and they're awesome. That was the year that, I'm going to get into that team in a minute, they were just phenomenal. I think 9 of 10 players go to the NBA. We're going to be talking to one of the players in a few minutes when he calls in. So they start that year off. I think they start the year 1, 2, or 3 in the country. And I don't want to get into the whole season because the guest is from that team. We're going to talk about that game. And it is getting, it's awesome. I'm like, oh, they lose that early game to UMass with Marcus Camby, ironically John Calipari. And I just start falling in love with that team. And that team was the most stacked team of all time. But we're going to talk about that in a minute when the guest calls in. He's texting me now. He's going to be calling in a minute. Let me tell you about New Orleans, what happens with me. So I make a decision, and usually when a big team plays, I can't take it. I truly can't watch the game. I walk in my house. When I lived at home, my parents, my brother, when I was seeing a girl at the time, they'd leave the house when a big game was on. It's pathetic. I know that. I'm not proud of this. That's what they would do. I'm in my house now, and I just pace up and down from the basement to the living room to my bedroom. I just walk up and down, cursing, yelling with the radio on in each room in the game, so it's pathetic. So I decide, you know what? I make the trip, which we discussed in length, to go see the Giants play in the Super Bowl. One of the best decisions of my life. One of the best times. I go there with my best friend. We drive 12 hours. Took us 15. Listen to previous shows on demand. You'll hear why it took us 15 hours. Friends and family passed, stayed in the Giants hotel with the Giants team. The best pitchers, the best time ever. I lived like a rock star that night. What happens is, I decide this year, you know what? If Kentucky does do it, I have to go see them. I have to watch my team win a title. I've seen the Yankees win 2 championships when I was there. Notre Dame I'm waiting on. The Knicks I'm waiting on. I'll be waiting a long time for that. I've seen Kentucky win a Final Four game in 96. So now I'm like, you know what? I got to watch Kentucky win the championship. But will my nerves be able to take it? Will they be able to take it? Again, I know I see a lot of new calls calling in. I'm not taking any calls yet. I apologize for that. I'm just going to ramble on until the guest calls. So I'm like, I'm going to make the decision. So I buy my ticket to the Final Four after the second round game. They beat Iowa State. I said, this team's going to the Final Four. I say it in my head, but then I tell everyone I think they're going to lose. So I buy my ticket to the Final Four. Little did I know that Rick Pitino was going to lead his Louisville Cardinals to play Kentucky. How the hell is that possible? That's Yankee Red Sox times 50, and I'm the biggest Yankee fan you'll ever meet. I have Yankee seats in my house from the stadium, and I'm saying that. Louisville, Kentucky. So now I'm like, holy shit. Now I'm nervous. I buy the ticket for like $120. I'm like, I can't go to this game. There's no possible way I can go down there. First of all, I can't take off for 3 or 4 days. And two, I can't go down there with this game. I'll be shaking the entire game. So I sell the ticket back on StubHub. I make a nice little profit on it. I make a nice little profit on that. I sell, you know what? If they can beat them, if they can beat Louisville, which they're a favorite, they were 8-point favorites. But you know what? When Louisville and Kentucky plays, it's the same as Duke and Carolina, Army, Navy, and football, Yankee, Red Sox. There's no spread. There's no line. They hate each other. The teams hate each other. That's all that matters. there's no point. And even Calipari and Patino said it. It doesn't matter who's playing on either team. You see red and the blue and the white, it's hate. So I go down there. I'm sorry, I sell my ticket. Make a nice little profit. I said, okay, if they can beat them, I'm going down there. They beat them. So now I'm saying to myself, all right, I'm going to go down there. I want to play Kansas. That's all I'm saying after they beat Louisville. I want Kansas. I'm watching the game. Ohio State's up by 10, 15. I'm like, man, I wish I could play Kansas. That's what I want. Kansas starts coming back. I tell myself, holy shit, do I want to play Kansas? Do I want to play Robinson? That's an absolute beast down below. Kansas comes back and wins. Now I got to make the decision. I asked a few people. We're supposed to go down there in October for my birthday, for Halloween. We're supposed to go back down to New Orleans. We went there last March. I love it. I've been all over the world. It's my favorite place to go. So I asked around. No one wants to go. No one wants to go down to New Orleans. Who wants to go down there on a Monday, hang out for 20 hours, and fly back home? So I'm like, all right, now let me get a little motel for myself. No. I go on. There's not one hotel room. And understandably, there's not one hotel room. There's not one motel room. I went on Craigslist to stay with anyone. Not one person had occupancy. So I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, how am I going down here? So I buy my plane ticket. I go to StubHub. I get a ticket for the championship game. Tell myself, I'm going to go. I fly down there with a pair of sneakers, shorts, a T-shirt. Looking at the weather, it's 81 degrees and sunny down there. Throw my backwards Yankee hat, my Kentucky shirt. I bring a book, wallet, cell phone charger. That's all I bring. I can't bring a bag. I have nowhere to stay. If I need to brush my teeth, I'll go into a CVS. You know what? The New Orleans story is going to be put on hold because the caller had just called in. He was on the unforgettable basketball team. The team I just spoke about. Probably the greatest college basketball team I've ever seen. The team that was filled with Tony Delk, Walter McCarty, Antoine Walker, Epps, Pope, Shepard, Wayne Turner, Ron Mercer, Edwards. 9 or 10 NBA players on that team. They beat UMass. Then they beat Syracuse. He was the best player to wear number 23 from the University of Kentucky until this year. The great Kentucky basketball player. The 13th player selected overall in the 97 NBA draft by the Cleveland Cavs. And NBA champion, Derek Anderson. Derek, what's going on, man? Thank you so much for calling the show.
No problem, man. Glad to be on.
I really appreciate it. All right, before we get to the amazing game Monday night, I just want to ask you a couple quick questions I was always curious about from you. Out of high school, you're from Louisville, but you choose Ohio State. Why that?
It was a coach, Denny Crum, thought that I was automatically going to go to Louisville because, that's, you know, as a kid, most people out of the city wanted to play for the city school. But I wanted to make sure that I was going to play, and then he recruited so many players, and I asked him to come sit down and talk with me and my uncle. He decided not to come, and Randy Harris from Ohio State drove 4 hours that day and came to sit in and had an in-house visit. So to me, it made sense that his loyalty lies with, you know, the university as well as me, and Danny Crum decided he just didn't want to come. So I was like, okay, well, that was a no-brainer for me to go where I really wanted to be, and I was going to get to play immediately when Rick Pitino was honored and told me he had Roger Brough, Tony Delk, so my playing time might not be as much. So
and now
I
why
to after, that I could play.
Now, after 2 years, you transferred to Kentucky. Why is that?
Well, they were going on probation there. Somebody said they were illegally recruited a kid named Damon Flynn, I think his name was, and I had also tore my ACL, so I needed a year to rehab. So I said, it's best I leave and not deal with the drama and rest my knee, and it worked out well.
Okay, you get drafted 13th overall by Cleveland. I always like to ask every athlete I had on the show. I had your boy Tim Couch on. I had Matt Schaub, Daniel Lorton. I have a ton of players on. What's the first thing you splurged on being a lottery pick in the NBA?
First thing I bought?
Yes.
Actually, the first thing I bought was some clothes. I got to wear college clothes. we had was jogging suits and everything. I like to dress kind of nice, so I wouldn't get me some clothes. I didn't buy an apartment. I didn't buy anything. I stayed with my uncle's house and got some clothes. Didn't get a car or anything yet. Just I heard everyone got some clothes. That was it.
All right, listen, I'm interviewing the great Derek Anderson. Listen, Derek, I'm from New York City. I'm a diehard, bleeding blue Kentucky fan. I've lost girlfriends, friends. I missed the wedding. The truth, 2 weeks ago, my uncle passed away. I truly missed the wake because of the Kentucky-Baylor game. Can you explain to all the fans, everyone listening right now, a lot of people I met in New Orleans, everyone from New York, the intensity of the Kentucky fan? Can you just describe it to people?
It will be hard to describe because unless you're there, it's like you never imagine the intensity we have. Like, this is the only place, the only school that supports their team no matter what. You look at all these other teams, even UCLA, all the years they had, you look how they drop off, and you hear nothing about them. You could see when UK, we were struggling with AIT, we still had fan support. This is a different breed of people. This is what we believe in. This is that true story about bleeding blue. I think I have blue stuff in my veins now. So, I mean, it's honest to God, it's like it's insane, but it's also it's a family that you can't break up and no one can, no matter what players or what teams come through.
It's funny you said family. I interviewed Daniel Orton. He stayed there for a year. He caused some controversy saying that he should have went to Kansas, and he was on the show, and he said that when he goes down to Kentucky, people literally just – he's family. Like, grandmothers come up to him, and, like, he's your family when you play for Kentucky. It's breathing and then winning down in Kentucky. Am I right?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit it on the head. It either you were breeding horses or we're cheering for Kentucky basketball. I mean, it's
– All right, it's funny. This year you had ties to three of the four Final Four teams. You went to Ohio State. You played. You grew up in Louisville. You played under Patino, and you went to Kentucky. You were definitely rooting for Kentucky, weren't you? Was that even a question?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of my close friends was Jock Vaughn, played at Kansas.
Of course.
And everybody was laughing about that, and I was just like, yeah, but there's no place like home. I will not even come close to cheer for anybody but Kentucky.
Okay, now listen, I was just talking right before you called in about the 96 team. I actually stepped outside the Meadowlands for that team when they played UMass in Canby. The team is so – I was 15 years old. I stepped outside the Meadowlands to watch that game. The team was so similar to this year's team. You lose early on. You guys lost to UMass. They lost to Indiana. Then you run the table in the SEC, and you lose in the SEC finals. Both,
yep.
I think they were 30 – you guys were 36-2. You guys had a ton of pros. I know you've probably been asked this a ton of times. I've never heard your answer yet. I truly think you guys would, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the phone. Who would win in the game and which team was better? Your team, the Untouchables, or this year's team?
It's easy to see. Who's going to guard us? I mean, it's like you look at our sports. We beat teams. We had 89 points at halftime at LSU. We beat teams by 40 points. Granted, this is a good team. We beat Marcus Camby NBA players. We're beating NBA players, Tim Duncan, Keith Van Horn. These are like Tim Duncan was great. Look what we did to him. And it's nothing against Kentucky. They just didn't play against those type of players. Like if Camby was with guarding, if Davis had to guard Camby who shot jumpers, it's a different game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say you can't compare them because we were that much more dominant than his team. But if they stayed 2 or 3 years together like we did, oh, they surpass us. But right now, they can't beat us because me and Ron Mercer would attack Michael Gilchrist the entire game. Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty would attack Jones the entire game. Who are they bringing off the bench to stop us?
They don't have that much,
and that's the problem.
It's funny, on these message boards, like, again, I'm in New York, so I'm away from the Kentucky bubble, but on these message boards, and a lot of the fans, I'm only 30 years old, but a lot of the fans are, like, in the, you know, mid-20s, and they hear about, like, Ron Mercer, McCarty. These guys weren't great, and Camby weren't amazing NBA players, but I was trying to explain, in college, Ron Mercer, you guys were built like beasts, and Camby, listen, he had a great NBA career. Camby was unstoppable in college. No one realizes how amazing he was in college. That 96 team, you guys played against great teams, and I'm saying your 96 team would have blew, listen, this team, they play great, awesome players. I think you guys would have kind of blew them out of the water, and I think almost all you guys would have started over all them also.
Yeah, everybody. The only person who would have played well with us was Davis. I mean, the rest of those guys are great players. But, I mean, it's just hard for you to, like, Tony Delk and Deron Lamb. I mean, Deron Lamb would have been a Tony Delk if he stays to senior year. But when you have guys never get a chance to actually fully develop, you can't compare those people. You know, I always make the comparison about a lot of players talk about Antoine and Ron. They left as sophomores. If they stay the seniors, they're way better than what you think. But you only go off what they showed, and that's what we have to do is we beat teams literally to death. Beat Tim Duncan by 20. We beat Keith Van Horn by 20-something. They were barely beating teams because they were young and they were still learning to play. But yet and still, they're a great team. But you can't compare them to us. We were just too dominant.
You are in Derek. I'm interviewing Derek Anderson, NBA champion, Kentucky all-time great. If you look at your box scores in those games, at halftime, you guys would have 61 points. You guys were scoring 105, 103 in the 90s every game. It wasn't even.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We went to Tennessee and beat them 90 to 50. Yeah, 86 points at LSU at halftime. People thought the game was over, and it was halftime.
Now, listen, you brought up Mercer and Walker leaving early. A lot of haters who, you know, want to hate on everything Kentucky does, everything Coach Cal does, they have a problem with the one and done. There's nothing you can do about it. I wish they would stay longer, but how are you going to prevent a kid from making millions in the NBA? What do you say to the critics that keep saying that, I think Coach Cal's doing great because, you know, Kyrie Irving and Austin Rivers, do kids are leaving early. All these kids are leaving early, but Kentucky gets the most flack about it. What do you have to say about all that?
Well, I just think it depends on where you're going. If you're a kid, you know the coach is going to allow you to be you. That's when you come to Kentucky. We don't have you stifled. We don't tell you what you're going to do with your life. We don't know how your life is. You don't know if this kid is hungry, his passion. You don't know anything. So Cal and University of Kentucky welcomes those who want to come to a program. They're only here to make you better as people and as players. So therefore, if people want to complain about guys coming one and done, then, hey, you can't dictate that person's life. That kid's going to go where he feels comfortable knowing that people are going to allow him to be him. So they're just saying that stuff just to complain. I would love personally to see him stay to 2 years because it's such a business in the pros, and if you're not business-minded or strong-minded, you can get lost in the pros, and you see some of these guys complain and pout. In the NBA, they don't care about that. They'll cut you, and you'll be overseas playing the rest of your life. So I think the maturity, it needs to be 2 years, but if you want to come one and done and you're good enough to make it, so be it.
Listen, exactly. Now, listen, does Coach Cal give you any grief about your 96 team beating him in Canby?
Actually, we did the documentary, Untouchables of Kentucky, and when he interviewed it, he understood more when he came. He was coaching. He was like, I didn't know it was just crazy here in Kentucky. He said, because when he beat us, he thought we just beat a good team. And then when he came, he's like, we pissed you guys off.
All right, you brought up the Untouchables DVD. I actually just purchased I didn't even know it was out. I purchased it last night after you and I were talking, and I was Googling you. Tell everyone who's listening about the Untouchables DVD.
The NBA, ESPN had us ranked second behind UCLA's dominant team of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and those guys. And I beg to differ because when you have 9 pros and 11 guys, 10 guys that are All-Americans, it's hard to beat that team. And the only reason we lost in one game, we didn't have our team. The second time, Coach took all of us out to prove a point that we needed to lose. So to me, we never actually lost on our as a team, but we learned how to play together. We learned to dominate a sport at a level that no one can do ever again. We beat NBA players to death. And Tim Duncan, like I said, all these guys who are superstars and Hall of Fame players, we beat them bad. And that's why I said we were the best team ever.
And tell everybody about the DVD. So you came out the DVD, and tell everybody where they can get it.
You can go online and order it, and we'll ship it to you. It's the untouchablesofkentucky.com, and we can send it to you however you like overnight, regular air. But that DVD, I got all the players on there, every last one who played, the interviews, Coach Martino, Coach Cal, we got Ashley Judd on it. We have everyone on there that means something to Kentucky, so it's awesome.
Derek, I just want to ask a couple more questions. I don't want to take up too much of your morning. Patino is on it. He's on the DVD. I know up here, I loved Patino. That team was great. And the 97 team, we'll get into that in a second, how you got hurt. 98, he leaves. Tubby Smith takes over. Basically, all Patino kids. Is Patino hated in Lexington as much as he's hated on these message boards and at the game, people just despise him? Is he hated that much in Lexington?
I don't think outright.
Mm-hmm.
I think more people still have a respect for him because of what he brought the program. I mean, he took a program that was struggling. We got the probation. He brought all these things. He brought a championship back, and he brought teams back. He brought liveliness back to Kentucky in basketball. So I think most people respect him for that. I think more people don't like the fact that he's coaching their rival. Not so much as him. It's just
exactly.
He's coaching our rival. And I think if he ever leaves Louisville, we'll welcome him back to Lexington. But I think as long as he's coaching our rival, I think it's hard for people to accept that because of that reason only. But he's great to me. He's still a friend of mine. So he's done things for me that I can't imagine that another coach would do. So I'll always respect him for that matter.
That's awesome to hear. Now, the 96 team, did you guys feel a lot of pressure being one, ranked number one and two the whole year. Did you to win another championship? Was there so much pressure on you guys that year?
No, it wasn't no pressure. We had fun. You look at us and watch what we did. I'm throwing out the backboard. Guys are just passing the ball. I mean, we just had fun. There was no arrogance. We had fun. We would knock the other player down and help him up. You know, we were good sports. We had fun. We loved each other. We were actually what you would call a vision of college basketball. Respect for the game, love the game, and you played hard every single night. We had a ball, man. There was no pressure on us at all, ever. That's how we could go out and beat teams.
Yeah, you blew teams out. 96, the Untouchables win a championship. 97, you guys are awesome again. You get hurt in the middle of the year, right? And you didn't even play in the championship game against Arizona, did you?
Nope, and we lost in overtime.
You lost in overtime to Miles Simon and Mike Bibby. I remember that was a horrible loss because you guys were great that year too. And you got hurt halfway through the year. And you know what a lot of people don't know? And I'm not just blowing your head up. You guys were both going for player of the year. You were dominating the first half of that season.
Yeah, I mean, he and I were tied neck and neck as player of the year. And
they were talking
about you
going top five in the draft.
Yeah, I was supposed to be 2-3 pick in the draft. But, I mean, I still played half the season and won lottery. That let you know how dominant we were as a team. Like, I was playing well on the team because my teammates was finding me, and me and Ron played well together. And that just made that much better of me.
That was horrible, you guys losing overtime that game. Okay,
Arizona still owes us, too. So.
Okay, the other number 23, Anthony Davis. The praise he's been receiving is unprecedented. Like, on ESPN yesterday, Larry Brown said, and I disagree with this. I think he's going to be awesome. But Larry Brown said, whatever team drafts him, they're going to win 40 to 50 games next year. Do you think he's going to be that dominant of a pro? I'm pretty sure he's coming out, obviously. But what do you think of Anthony Davis's NBA career?
I love it. I think it's going to be great. I think he has to get stronger in the post. But other than that, I see him changing the game. Like I told everybody, he's a game changer, not just a basketball player. He's a game changer. And so long as he continues to get better, he'll do that. Everybody talked about his freshman year. I said, y'all remember Carmelo Anthony had a good team? Purvis Ellison had a good team around him. I mean, these guys who were freshmen won championships, they had great teams. So long as Davis goes to a good team, he'll change the game and they'll win games. But he can only do so much.
Now, let me ask you, obviously Kentucky fans, like I said, they're crazy. And so many, like a lot of, you know, I'm up here in New York, but I listen to some Kentucky sports radio. People were calling in yesterday. And let me ask you your opinion. I don't think so, and you're not saying a fact. I'm just curious. They were saying if somehow the Kings with Evans and Cousins get the first pick, or the Wizards get it with John Wall, that Coach Cal leaves because both those teams have interim coaches. Do you see him leaving Kentucky because he won the championship, or is he that driven to make these to mold these kids into great people and great players? Do you see him staying in Kentucky? It's the dream job in sports. Does he stay there, or do you ever see him leaving anytime soon?
I can see him leaving because he's the type of guy who loves to make sure he likes to conquer things.
Yes.
But I could also see him finishing out at Kentucky as well. So it's either or with him. I don't know how personally he feels about things, but I could see him, you know, to challenge himself and get better and play and coaching at a different level. I could see that. But if he doesn't, he would still, I think he should finish at Kentucky.
Oh, so do I. I love him. And first of all, he's a great recruiter. And he said something phenomenal in the press conference. He's like, I don't lie to these kids. Any one of these kids, Kid Gilchrist, Lamb, even with Wall and Cousins, all those guys, they can go somewhere, score 40 a night. The team would, you know, go to the Sweet 16. But they buy into his system. They really play as a team. It can help him in the NBA. And he's like, I don't lie to these kids. And they ask him, what's his next goal? He says his next goal is to go undefeated. He said that's his next goal, to go undefeated. So we'll see about that. I have a question. I always ask people, do you have any memorabilia from when you played? Do you keep any of that stuff?
Oh, yeah, I got all my stuff, hats, shirts, everything.
Where's your NBA championship ring?
In my safe deposit box for my NBA championship.
Yeah, you have both rings. That's great. Okay, I always ask people a couple of random questions. I ask every athlete who I interview, I'm lucky enough to get a ton on the show, and I'm grateful to have you on. If I take Derek Anderson's phone right now, who's the coolest person in your phone right now?
The coolest, like
right now, yeah. You want to impress somebody? You're at a party. You take Derek Anderson's phone. Who's the coolest person in your phone?
Michael Jordan.
Are you kidding me?
I was the first guy who signed to wear his shoe.
What happened?
I was the first guy who signed to wear his shoe. Jumpman.
Oh, is that, really? I didn't know that.
Yep, look it up.
Well, listen, Derek Anderson, I'm going to tell you something right now. I told you I interviewed Couch. We interviewed a ton of NBA players, Chris Canty, Schaub, 20, 30 people. Hands down, that's the best answer. We had anyone from Snoop Dogg to Marino to Elway to the Michael Jordan in your phone. That's hands down the best one.
Good.
Hey, is it true that a couple more questions? I'll let you go. It's early in the morning. Is it true you went back to college to get your degree?
Yeah.
You went back to University of Kentucky?
Yeah, I'm going back.
Oh, you're going back right now?
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, listen. You had a really good NBA career. You averaged, your final stats, you averaged like 11, 12, or 13 points a game. You got hurt a little bit. You were all-rookie second team. You won a ring. Are you recognized, and I need to know the truth, more for being a 12, 13-year NBA veteran or a member of the Kentucky 96 team?
Hands down, Kentucky. I still get that every day. Even today, I get people who, like, all ages, they say, I remember you at Kentucky. Not 11-year pro career. Everything is about Kentucky. I promise to you. Everyone I talk to, it could be anyone in the world. I met a guy from Dubai. He said he remembered you at Kentucky. He remembered me at Kentucky. I was like, wow.
And you know, it's great. You had years when you averaged 16, 17, 18 points a game. You had really beyond solid NBA season.
Yeah,
you won the ring.
11 years. Yeah, I mean, nah, they remember everything in Kentucky. I mean, everything. They remember when I got hurt. Some guy said he remembered the Auburn game when I got hurt. I'm like, dang, how'd you remember that? And that's what, 15 years ago.
Listen, I'm in the Superdome. So I was telling everybody beforehand, I love Kentucky. The Yankees in Kentucky, they're my life. It's a big reason I'm single. I'm a good-looking 30-year-old guy, good job, and a big reason I'm single is because my life revolves around these two teams. So I go to New Orleans by myself Monday just to go watch a game. I fly down there. I take off from work. And they win. I'm sitting next to like a 65-year-old guy. Kentucky wins. And the whole Big Blue Nation is singing and swaying my old Kentucky home. I'm sitting there with a 65-year-old guy. We're singing it. Tears are in our eyes. Do you get tears in your eyes when you hear that song? Does it just think of the greatness that is Kentucky basketball and the state of Kentucky?
Yeah. I mean, what can you say about Kentucky? It's just hard. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't want to sound arrogant about it, but Kentucky is it. Like, I don't know, man. It's
crazy. You know what? It does leave you speechless. And I have one more question before I let you go. Yeah. All my friends were huge sports fans, and we're all diehard Yankee fans. And, you know, everyone, all my friends, they like Duke. Everybody's a Duke or Carolina fan, of course, because up in New York, like the St. John's. And I always try to call the Cameron crazies, and I always try to explain, if you go to Rupp Arena once, or if you truly meet a Kentucky fan, like, it's their life. It's their, like, right now, the game was over. People are talking about recruiting for next year and a repeat. Kentucky fans, I wish people can experience a game in Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
The way they say, because no one realizes how small Cameron Indoors is. Duke Stadium is tiny. That's why it's so loud.
How about they see where Duke fans travel like our fans? You go to any, we could play Duke in Hawaii. 70% of the fans in Kentucky. We could play them in Alaska, 70% of Kentucky. Nobody else travels like us. Nobody else competes with us.
So glad you said that. This year, Kentucky opened the season in Madison Square Garden. So I go there, a buddy of mine, this kid Mike, he's a Duke fan. So we go there, and as you're walking in, now it was Kentucky played Kansas, Duke played Michigan State. So, you know, if you go by ratio, 75% of the crowd is going to be blue with Duke. So he's like, oh, look at all the Duke fans. The Duke game ends. No one leaves. So Duke played the first game. The Kentucky game was there. It was so loud. He looks at me and goes, I've never seen anything like this. The whole crowd, I think it was a Monday, the whole crowd was Kentucky in New York City. And they all said, yeah, we go. And next year, I think it's in Atlanta. They're playing. And, you know, next year they're playing in Brooklyn, Kentucky. The whole, I've never seen fans just travel. All of Bourbon Street was Kentucky. That's all it was. It was UK then.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
That's how it is, and that's how it's always going to be. That's why I love it.
I love being a Kentucky fan. Listen, Derek, thank you so much for calling the show. Thank you. You were awesome. And quick question. I have a ton of Kentucky memorabilia. When we hang up, I'll text you, I'll inbox you. You give me your address. If I send you down something, you sign up for me, I can hang it in my house?
Absolutely.
Derek, thank you so much for everything. Derek Anderson, the great Kentucky player. Derek, thank you so much for calling the show and taking your time. Have a great day, all right?
Have a good one. You too, man.
Thank you, buddy. Derek Anderson. How cool was he? He was and this is what always bothers me. We'll talk about Kentucky because today is opening day for the baseball season. The Marlins are playing the Cardinals. The Yankees prepare for the 20th title. The Mets prepare to stay relevant, I guess, till the middle of May. But I just want to put a nice ending to a magical, amazing, and I'll use the word with no pun intended, unforgettable season with Kentucky had. Derek Anderson was so dominant in college. Here's what always bothers me sometimes when you try to compare teams. In 96, he said it, Duncan was Tim Duncan. He was awesome. Now, Marcus Camby, Mercer, Anderson, Wolk had a very good career. Tony Dell, these guys had great NBA, decent NBA careers. They were around 5'10". Derek Anderson was around 12 years, averaged 12 points. I think one year he actually averaged like 18 points, 19 points. They were awesome in college. So people always say, oh, Anthony Davis, the next Marcus Camby, he's better than Marcus Camby. Camby dominated. If you remember those 96 teams, 97, Van Horn was awesome. Like, yeah, they might not have panned out in the pros, but these players were phenomenal. They were awesome. So that Kentucky team, I think the Wall, Cousins, Bledsoe, Orton, Patterson, I thought that team was stacked. This team, I think, is better just because they play more as a team. And people want to knock Teague. He wasn't as good as Evans or Rose or Brandon Knight or Wall. These players, they adapted. Every one of these players could have went anywhere and dropped 30 a game. And listen, I know we have a ton of calls. I only have a few minutes left. It's my day off from work. I'm going to go do some good stuff today. So I just want to talk a little more about Kentucky because I might not get into any calls. We have around 1,000 people listening. That's awesome right now. But a lot of people try to compare these Kentucky teams. That 96 team, if you ever, like, sitting around your board, YouTube that Kentucky team. They would score, like, just like Derek, I'm echoing what Derek said. They would score 105 points, 93 points. They would go 9 deep. They had 9 or 10 NBA players on that team. And what they would do is, at the end of the game, you'd see Tim Duncan, Van Horn, Camby, hunched over, John Wallace. You see these players hunched over, cramping up because they're running up and down. And the Kentucky guys were the most well-conditioned team because they all played 20 minutes a game. No one played 40. So you get guys, Derek Anderson, who should have went, if he didn't get hurt, Duncan was a lock to a number one in 97. Derek Anderson was going 2 or 3. If he doesn't get hurt, he got hurt, you know, at Ohio State, like he said, and he got hurt in the middle of the 97 season. He wins that. They win 3 in a row because they came back in 98 and they dominated. So I just want to thank Derek Anderson again. So back to Bourbon Street. And then I'll finish up the show with my old Kentucky home. So I go down there. I meet people, like I keep saying, from the message boards, from writing on ESPN, from doing the show, and when Daniel Orton, you know, retweeted it, a lot of Kentucky fans reached out to me. And just from all the games I go to, I meet a lot of Kentucky fans. So I go right to Kentucky. I go right to Bourbon Street. There's a Kentucky parade going on. You can follow me on Twitter, at Mike Saffo. I'm going to put up pictures, and you can friend me on Facebook, Mike Saffo. I'm not going to be on for another week. I gave it up for Lent. I gave up Facebook. But what happened was, I went right to a Kentucky parade, and you feel like family. Everyone's cheering. We're hanging out at the parade. I had nowhere to stay now. I'm a little sweaty. It's 82 degrees. Got to go to the bathroom. I have to beg someone. I'm like, hey, I do this for a living. Can I just go to the bathroom real quick? We're hanging out. We go out to eat Yakimi Oyster House. It was phenomenal. We're on Bourbon Street, and, you know, they did a good job with it, Bourbon Street, of course. There's never any problems there, really. And I mean that. It was half Kentucky, half Kansas for the final, and half of the Bourbon Street to the left side was Kentucky, the right was Kansas. And around 6:30, 7 o'clock, the skies open up, and it starts pouring. I'm not going to make a Katrina joke. I am. It's like Katrina. It's flooding, and half of Bourbon Street goes out, and it's the Kansas side. So my sick, diabolical mind, I'm like, you know what? This might be a good sign. This could be something pretty good. We all take a bus. We go to the Superdome, and we get there. And, you know, the lights are flickering in there. Kentucky starts playing. They're up by 18. And I'm like, this is it. They're going to win a championship with me being there. This is unreal. Then Kansas, and I don't break down the show. I hate when they break down every aspect of the show. Well, with 3 minutes left, they cut the lead to 14, and I'm like, holy shit, all right, it's halftime. I still don't leave my seat. I'm still shaking. I'm like, this is insane. And, you know, I was getting text messages. Oh, my phone was off, but I was getting text messages before the game. Oh, if they win, aren't you sad to be down? No, to be down there alone. with the Yankees, you go to Yankee Stadium, you know, everyone's a Yankee fan. You know, so when the Giants win, everyone from New York's a Yankee fan. The Knicks, the same thing. Kentucky, I was there with my family, with my Kentucky family. And, again, I'm not going to describe how it is being a Kentucky fan. So now, the game's over. They cut the lead down to 5 with the ball. And Kid Gilchrist makes that great block. They throw the ball away. History was made. I'm sitting next to this 65-year-old guy. He puts his arm around me. He's there with his wife, puts his arm around me. Might have been a little creepy. We don't know yet. We've been emailing each other. This can lead to other creepy friendship. And we have tears in our eyes, and we're singing My Old Kentucky Home. And I have my New York accent. He's like, how the hell are you? How do you know every word to the song with tears in your eyes? So I'm going to say besides October 26, 96, and then in I'm going to say probably October 26th or 27th in the year 2000 when the Yankees beat the Mets. This is the second or third best moment of my entire life. And that's sad. People always say, oh, when this happened. No, this is amazing. I was 15 years old when they won it, and then 17 when they won it again, and I was spoiled. And that was, I was a spoiled Yankee fan, a Kentucky fan. So I appreciated it, but I'm like, oh, every year we're going to do it. And then, you know, you go through Tubby Smith and dirtbag Billy Gillespie years, and you're thinking, maybe we're not going to win it for a while. And then Calipari gets these one-and-done kids, and they're awesome, but you're thinking, shit, maybe they're not going to win. Maybe all they care about is going 32-3, showing the whole world where we have 5 or 6, 7 NBA players on this team, and that's it. We don't care if we win a championship. Well, who cares if you win a championship? But these kids bought in. They bought in, and you know, and I heard and I read a few stories that Tony Delk, Derek Anderson, these old players, Cameron Mills, Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty, I heard that he's a Pope, Shepard, that these players went back and sat with them in the locker room. Like, listen, you guys can be greats, like John Wall. And you guys can be Kentucky greats. I heard Tayshaun Prince went back, Keith Bogans. You guys can be awesome. You guys can be, oh, remember when Cousins played that? Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, what's he? Okay. All you guys can be remembered for the rest of your lives as a team that won the championship. So regardless of what happens in the NBA, and they have some, I think Kid Gilchrist is going to be a star, and I do. I think Anthony Davis is going to transcend basketball. I think he's going to be the next great, huge thing. He might have a rough year or two. He's very thin. Remember, he was just 6'2 a few years ago. He shot up 8 inches. He might grow another inch or two. I wish I had that problem, just growing 8 inches. But you, they bought in and they realized, we're going to go down as, oh, Anthony Davis, number one pick overall? No, Anthony Davis, NCAA champion at Kentucky. The rest of his life now. In 15 years, I'll be retired. Well, I can retire in 10 years. I'll be retired on some beach, on some island somewhere, still doing this stupid radio podcast. And I'll be interviewing maybe Davis or Lamb. And I'm going to say, and he might have 5 rings. But you, Derek Anderson, said, and that's how I'm going to close the show. Derek Anderson played 12 years in the NBA. He was an NBA champion. All rookie team. All this, all that. Michael Jordan, he was the first person. I didn't know that. That's awesome. I was going to ask him to get Jordan to call the show. Michael Jordan was the first person he signed. Like, these are big-time players, and he said he's remembered more for being on the 96 Kentucky team. That just shows you what it is. Anyway, so I'm on Bourbon Street till 3:30 in the morning. My flight's at 6:15, I believe, to come back to New York. And I tell myself, listen, this is once in a lifetime. I'm going to Lexington. I'm there with all these people who live in Lexington. I'm going to Lexington. Let's go. Everyone's like, you got to come. I'm coming. I go on some kid's iPad. I look. Flights are like $800. I'm like, I don't care. I'm doing. And I'm watching the news. I see police sirens and ambulances on TV. I said, oh, man shot in Kentucky. I said, you know what? I'm going to head on home to New York where it's safe. So I decided not to go to the parade afterwards. But I came home, and what I did, I ordered every newspaper from everywhere. Just, it was awesome. And a big reason I did the show today, and when football season ended, we still had Tim Couch come on. We had Rick Meyer, guys I always admired. I wanted to do one Kentucky show, and I couldn't do it yesterday, I had no voice. I wanted to do a show where just, hopefully, I throw all these shows on CDs, I put them in a box. I'm going to realize that hopefully in 5, 10 years, maybe we'll have another championship or two. just how happy I was because of this team. It's pathetic that a bunch of 19, 20-year-old guys can make me this happy. All right, listen, everyone, thank you for listening. I actually, at some point in the show, hit over 1,000 listeners. I should ask Derek Anderson to retweet this. Awesome guest. Buy his DVD. It's actually really good. I was watching clips on it last night on YouTube. You'll see how dominant that 96 team was. If you're a college basketball fan, you should watch it. You see great players in it. Everyone who called in, listen, I know I didn't take any calls today. I didn't want to take calls early on. And then when Derek Anderson called in, I would just have to hang up on you. So I apologize to everyone calling it. Everyone who called in. I might do one more Kentucky show. Maybe I'll do it on a night. A lot of people saying they just want to talk about Bourbon Street and hanging out and stuff. So, and good news, two things. The website will be up soon. I promise you. I just need someone to help me with it. I had someone try to help me with it, but that fell through. But I'm going to do it where you go on, you click Derek Anderson, you go to his webpage where you can buy the DVD, his Twitter page, his stats, his picture, my interview. So it's going to work out. So if anyone, I got a few emails. People want to charge me to deal with them. Come on, guys. A few of my friends, like, oh, I'll do it. Give me $50. Do it. Bang out the fucking website for me. All right. So everyone, thank you. And listen, all Yankee fans, you should be very happy right now. Not because baseball starts today, but because the last six times the University of Kentucky won the national championship, the New York Yankees also won it. It doesn't work both ways, but it's funny. 96, Kentucky wins it. 96, the Yankees win it. 97, Kentucky loses in overtime. The Yankees lose to the Indians. 98, one of Kentucky's best teams ever, the Tayshaun and Prince, that team, they win a championship. Yankees have their best team ever. 99, 2000, 2009, Yankees won the championship. Unfortunately, Kentucky didn't, but hopefully this year. And that would be, I'll be honest, if the Yankees win this year, I can never even go on another day in my life, I'll be happy. I got to watch the Giants win it while I was there, Kentucky win it when I was there, and obviously wherever the Yankees go, I'll be in New Orleans, but I'll fly anywhere. I'll fly to Guam, which I might go to see Reese, to watch that. So everyone, listen, thank you for listening. Over 1,000 people listened at Monday morning. I don't know what, do anyone who listens to me work? I'm truly curious if anyone works. Anyone, listen, I'll do another show. I have a few more interviews set up, a few more wrestlers. I have Mike Moustakas. We're going to set up our thing. We haven't set up when we can do the show. He's been busy with that whole professional baseball lifestyle that he lives. But we have a lot of good guests calling in. Derek Anderson was awesome. So thank you for everyone listening, whoever called in. What a great day. Listen, I'm going to end the show today with Happy Chandler singing My Old Kentucky Home. This is the song I sang because a lot of people have been texting me, what the hell is My Old Kentucky Home? When you watch a Kentucky Derby, it's that song right before everyone is doing their shots and not watching the race, looking at everyone's silly hats. That's the song that they play. So here it is. And listen, there's better versions of it, but this is the best one because this is the one they sing on Senior Day. This is the one, all right? So here's My Old Kentucky Home. Once again, congratulations to the Kentucky Wildcats, making me a very happy person. Everyone have an awesome day. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. All merry, all happy and bright.